Good morning. Let's take a look at the Word of God together. We're in Hebrews today, and let me pray as we come to chapter 5 and 6 we had read for us earlier. Lord God, open our hearts to your Word, speak your truth, and keep us as Christians. In Jesus' name, amen. Never forget when my son went missing at the age of 3. We looked around the house, couldn't find him, and we saw the front door had been opened and he clearly had done a runner. Only little, 3 or 4, didn't have a clue what he was doing. So I ran out the house and wonderfully, by God's kindness and mercy, some kind guy had slammed on his brakes, grabbed Zachary and was carrying him round the different houses trying to find out who this little blonde boy belonged to. And I was elated to see him again. But let me tell you, when the door was shut, after giving him a big hug, I did say to him quite strongly and with much expression and with horror and with graphic detail that if he ever did that again, he could be in a very different situation. It's very dangerous to do what he did. And I scared him. Now, why did I do that? Am I a horrid father? Well, maybe. But I did it because I wanted to warn him of the seriousness of doing that again to keep him safe. The seriousness of running away. Don't ever do that again. I warned him so that he would not do it again and he would be kept safe. And I guess this whole letter of Hebrews to these Christians, we don't know who wrote the book, but actually we know it's written to Christians who were from a Jewish background. And the writer wants to encourage them not to run away from Jesus, to keep on going. And he uses a shocking warning this morning in our passage to keep them. We're going to get to it in a moment. But our sermon today has a lovely 3 sections. Quite naturally, it is the vicar's dream. 3 points for us this morning as we look at this passage that encourages us to take warnings seriously so that we keep following the Lord. Now, the writer starts by confronting the Christians. It's there in Hebrews 5:11. Through to chapter 6, verse 3. And this is the first thing, this confrontation is this. Recognize the problem, you are spiritually lazy. Recognize the problem, you're spiritually lazy. You see, this guy's writing this, loves these Christians so much that he wants to confront them with the truth. Confrontation is never easy, is it? He's just been teaching them in chapter 5 about the eternal priesthood of Jesus. And with dramatic effect, he takes a break from that. In chapter 5, verse 11, he says, we have much to say about this, that is the priesthood of Jesus. But it's hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. They are not so hungry anymore. They are not trying to engage with the truth. They have kind of lost appetite. In fact, verse 12 of chapter 6 talks about them. We do not want you to become lazy. Laziness was in the danger of setting in and causing inertia and a lack of hunger and lack of desire to understand the deeper things of God and to mature and grow. Do you remember the warning that the writer gave back in chapter 2, verse 1? It says, we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. Well, in these verses before us, we're beginning to see more of the problem. This danger of drift was linked to them having a lack of appetite for the things of God. Chapter 5, verse 11, you no longer try to understand. For sure, they are believers, genuine Christians who have clearly, chapter 6, verse 1, heard the gospel of Christ, the elementary teachings about Christ, and they have repented and they've believed in God. That's all in verse 1 of chapter 6. And they've accepted the basics of the faith, the ABC of the faith. And they seem content with that. And yet they seem content just to stay where they are. They are like spiritual babies. They are they like the milk, but they don't want solid food, the writer says. You see, in these opening verses, the writer confronts them. Here is the issue. This is why I'm concerned for you right now. Will you realise you need to mature? You need to mature. You need to engage and hunger for the teaching of the Word of God and develop an appetite that builds on the ABC of the gospel, repentance and faith. And if you don't, there's a real danger of drift. A couple of applications for us. I wonder, how willing are we to confront those that God has put in our spiritual care, in our lives, who seem to be drifting right now, who are not engaging with online services, who are not coming to home group, who are not getting involved anymore. If we know who they are, will we confront them at the danger they're in? Or maybe right now you are that person who's being lazy You're losing your appetite to learn and mature. Do you know, the ABC of the gospel is wonderful, repentance and faith. But actually, will we desire to learn more about righteousness, growing in our faith, discerning what is right and wrong, maturing as we study the word of God? That's what God wants for us, not to stand still, because when you stand still, you drift. You drift back. Now keep pressing on. Keep hungering. Get an appetite to grow in your faith. Will you recognize your problem if that is your problem today? Well, secondly, then comes this warning. Run away from danger. Now we need to hear the serious warning of the danger of drift. It is this: don't let drift lead to damnation. Don't let your drift lead to damnation. It's a shocking warning. Have a look again at chapter 6, 4 to 8. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the word of God and the powers of the coming age, and who have fallen away, to be brought back to repentance. To their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. Now, I believe this serious warning about the dangers of drift and damnation are there to keep us safe. You hear it and you should say, Lord, I don't want to drift away from you. I don't want to drift away. I don't want to be unrepentant, drifting, unhungry, apathetic, lazy. No, I want to follow you with passion. I want to trust Christ all my days. I don't want to stop following you. You know, I believe the genuine believer will persevere to the end. That if we are genuine, I believe that once saved, always saved. And a means of God's grace in keeping us are warnings like this that keep us on track. So picture me with my son. After he was found and brought safely home that day, he was my son and as his father, I wanted to keep him safe. So I put the fear of what could have happened into his heart, so he was never foolish again. And that's the impact I believe that these verses should have on us. Remember Jesus' parable of the soils, those four soils. And actually there's three responsive soils. Remember that one, the seed falls on the ground and it just bounces off and the birds eat it. But there's three soils where there's a response. But actually only one of the soils keeps going and proves themselves to be a genuine Christian. You see, it seems like that's the sort of situation being described here. Somebody who has never really trusted Christ properly. They have been enlightened. They have heard the gospel. They've tasted the heavenly gift. They've shared in the Spirit. Maybe they've enjoyed being part of a local church where the Spirit's at work and just had a taste of how good it is to be part of a community like that. They've enjoyed the Bible teaching. They've tasted the word of the Lord. And yet they've fallen away and they never come back. That's because I believe they were never truly the Lord's. They had the outward sign of knowing Christ, but like many of those seeds in the parable that Jesus told, they did not last. They did not last. Because I believe the genuine Christian will persevere. They may well drift away from the Lord, but be brought back. Maybe you've got a prodigal in your life, and once they've professed faith and they're nowhere now, well, let's pray that they will come back, that they are genuinely the Lord's. Now, this warning is here to keep us trusting in him, to think, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to prove not to be a genuine Christian. I want to keep following Christ. You see, what sort of soil are you going to be? The writer uses agricultural image in verses 7 and 8 of land that drinks in the rain. In verse 7, we see the fruitful land, which is farmed and it's blessed and it's abundant. It produces crops. Do you want to be like that? I do. I don't be like the land in verse 8 that produces thorns and thistles and is worthless, that never responds to God's word, that is unresponsive to what is being said to my heart today. No, I want to be a fruitful bit of soil. I want to be a fruitful Christian who hears the word of God and the rebuke not to be lazy and to get up and get on and press on following Jesus. The warning, the danger of drift, is a serious warning designed to keep us following Christ and to keep us going to the end. Well, finally, the writer brings a word of comfort as he gives reassurance to these Christians he's writing to that they really do belong to Jesus. I guess as he writes the next little section, verses 9 to 12, he's anticipating the Christians are thinking, well, of what you've described, is that me? Am I that person who's not a real Christian who will drift away? Am I really a Christian? Am I safe? Is my lack of appetite right now, my laziness, a sign that I'm not really Jesus? I'm not belonging to him. Well, he writes to reassure them in verse 9. He says this: even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are convinced of better things in your case, the things that have to do with salvation. He goes to talk about their real Christian life, the fruit of their life. Verse 10, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you've shown him as you've helped his people and continue to help them. Genuine faith in Christ. He's convinced that they are believers. He's convinced they're going to keep going. There's evidence in their life of fruitfulness. They need that encouragement, that confrontation to keep pressing on. So thirdly, what is the encouragement? To be diligent. Keep going in the Christian life. And recognize that you are getting lazy in your appetite to grow and learn. And verse 12, imitate those who finish the race, who inherit what is promised. It's a real privilege for me to be involved in taking the funerals of many Christians. And it's always hard, because actually we do grieve, but not without hope. But also it's a joy to know they finished life trusting Christ. They have persevered with patience to the end. And I want to imitate them. I don't want to be lazy and take my foot off the throttle in the Christian life. I want to press on and grow in my understanding and my living and my loving of the Lord Jesus and my worshipping of the Lord Jesus and my blessing of others in the Christian life. I want to follow the example of those who've kept going as Christians right to the end, proving they belong to Jesus. I guess you may be all being in a car when you begin to find yourself nodding off to sleep. And actually what you need is to open the window, put the radio on, slap your face, grab a can of Red Bull, knock it back and get to the nearest service station to get a refreshing break to keep you alert and alive. You need that kickstart to wake you. If I'm nodding, I'm shocked and terrified. My eyes peel back and I just go really intensely driving as carefully as I can. Oh, well, actually, the shock of this passage is this. Be warned. That's the impact. Be alert. Wake up. Do all you can to keep going and following Christ. Don't be lazy. Don't lack appetite. Ask the Lord Jesus to give you appetite to love and follow him. Confrontation, warning, and comfort. Diligently follow. Well, do you know, as I was preparing this sermon, I was reminded of an amazing roller coaster ride I took Winnie and the kids on a couple of years ago in Holland. And I'm going to show you a short clip of that now.
Winnie, look!
Winnie,
watch, watch! Look at the camera! It's the big screen together! Thank you.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that. As a family, we watched it again and we found it absolutely hilarious. And Winnie thinks it's the most funny thing she's ever seen. And she's delighted to share it with you today. But I'll never forget when Winnie got off that roller coaster ride, she said, I never want to do that again. I never want to go on that ride again. Never. That fear made her think, no, not for me. Friends, will you hear the warning of God's word this morning and say, no, that's not the path I'm going to follow. I don't want to be one of those people who walks away and actually proves that I'm not a Christian. I want to keep following Jesus. I want to keep holding on to him. I don't want to go the way of the warning in this passage. I want to hear it, obey it, and build my life on Jesus and persevere following him with hunger. Well, let me pray that God would help us all do that in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, if we've drifted, bring us back. If we're a prodigal, we thank you, Lord Jesus. It's never late, too late for us to come back to you. You're so gracious. And Lord, help us if we are becoming lazy or lacking appetite or have stopped meeting with your people to do those things that will just bring back life and a passion for Jesus. By your Spirit, would you come and be at work in us today? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.